Okay. Let's pray. We're going to move into a message this morning, part two, as Raven mentioned, on building a foundation. So, Father, we give you this time this morning. We just pray right now, Holy Spirit, for the dynamic of your presence to open our hearts, open our minds to be receptive and open to the sowing of the seed of your word today. Pray that that seed would fall upon good soil, good hearts, and as a result, that that seed would produce a crop, 40, 60, 100-fold. And Father, we just give you this time and just ask that you would be with us. It's in Jesus' name, and everyone said together, amen. Amen. I was in a powerful, powerful worship service the other day. And as I was in that worship service, I believe that God started to share some things with me. And it really began to hit me really hard what God was sharing with me. And I really believe that God wanted me to share this with you also. And here's what he wanted me to share with you, and that is, hey, you guys, your best days are ahead. Does anybody receive that this morning?
I received that.
Come on now, let's go. Your best days are ahead. But here's the big part of the equation. Your best days are ahead when Christ is the Lord of your life. Amen? And there's just some people in this room this morning that I know you had a rough year. You say only a year. It's been a lot more than a year. I want to encourage you as Jesus as the Lord of your life, your best days are ahead. So this is what I want you to do. I know it's a little weird. Just shut your eyes right now. And I just want you to receive that this morning. That, hey, Lord, my best days with you at the center of my life aren't behind. Nope, they're not behind. I'm not done. It's not over. But my best days are still ahead because you're in my life. How many people think you are thankful that Jesus is in your life? And I tell you what, when Jesus is in your life, you can live with that hope that the best days are ahead. Amen. Here's my second thought. As a church, can we all read this together? Our best days are ahead. Let's say that together again. One, two, three. Our best days are ahead. So last week, what we did is we talked about the importance of building a strong foundation, okay? And I said this, and if you weren't here, you might want to write this down. I said that the foundation determines the quality and the durability of the structure. Let me read that again. The foundation determines both the quality and the durability of a structure, okay? And we looked at this picture, and we discovered when they make a skyscraper that might be 75 stories plus in height, how many people know that that's not the only part of the skyscraper, but we're told that that skyscraper probably goes down 25 stories in depth below the surface. They have these foundational anchors called piles that go down deep into the bedrock so that if there's winds or storms or even people walking in the buildings, that foundation is going to hold up the building. And we said that about your life too. That the quality and the durability of your life is determined by your foundation. Your foundation. And we said that your foundation is really your inner life. Your inner life will determine the quality and the durability of your life. And we said because storms come, they don't come when we always expect them. They come unexpectedly. Things that we thought may never have happened before happen. Life doesn't always go as we thought it would or how we planned it to be. So when those times come, it's good that we have a foundation. So when those storms come, that we can stand strong, that we can have high quality life, we can have durability, and we don't have to fall, but we can stay standing. Amen? So that was last week. Today what I want to do is I just want to take that one step further, and I want to say not only is that true about a structure, not only is that true about a life, but that's also true about a church. That's true about a church. Okay? Let me say it this way, the quality and the durability of a church will be determined also by its foundation. So for a church to endure the test of time and to be a quality church, it's not all the outside things that we always see, it's the foundation. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How can a church build a quality foundation so that they can endure, so that they can be of high quality, so they can reach a city for Christ, okay? So let's talk about this for the next few minutes. And I want to encourage you to listen in because I want to let you know as we begin a new year 2019, I read a great article this week that really kind of changed the way I'm going to preach from here on out. For all the years that I've been here, I've always generally prayed for or preached for sharing information. Well, I'm going to totally change my style this year, and I'm not preaching just to share information anymore. I'm preaching to call people to action. That's why I'm here, to call people to action. Because there's a lot of people that have a lot of information. You've been in church all your life, some of you. And you've heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. And I'm not saying information's wrong. I think there's a powerful piece to information. But I think it's time for the church of Jesus Christ to be called to action. Amen? So that's what my approach is going to be today. That's what my approach is going to be the rest of the year. And we're just going to see where the chips fall where they may. Amen? We're just going to believe God for great things. So we're going to talk about a church having a strong foundation. In order for that to happen, how does a church build a strong foundation? First of all, there needs to be a clarity of the mission. That's the why. The why. People need to understand why we're here, why we exist. And then the second part includes all of us. We need to live out the mission. There needs to be a high level of engagement amongst the people that make up the church. Is everybody hearing me this morning? So I read this in that article, and this is what the writer said. He said, people need to go from attendance to engagement. And they're finding this out all throughout our country, that people are, they're running the churches, these mega churches, and they say, I like it here. But all they're, in most of these situations, we're just seeing a bunch of people just called to attendance. But he's saying if the church is going to go strong forward into the future, people are going to have to be called from being just attending, sitting in their seats saying, I like that, I didn't like that, that's okay, that's not okay. And they're saying that people need to move into that realm of engagement. So here's my call to each and every person this morning, especially if you're here and you say, yes, this is my church home. Now, if you're visiting today, you get out on this one. But if you're here today and you say, yes, this is my church home, this is really going to be our focus for 2019, is we're calling you out of just being attendees, and we're calling people into engagement, where people are saying, I'm engaged with what God wants to do in this church and through this church, in this community, in this world, okay? So we're going to look at this. We're going to take a journey this year from attendance to engagement. So let's look at this whole thought of we need clarity and living it out. First of all, let's look at the first part, okay? And the first part is there needs to be such a clarity of mission. So what is the mission of Journey Church? Hopefully there's a lot of people that know what the mission is. We state it time after time after time. There's times where I leave big gaps where I don't communicate it, but I want to let you know you're going to hear it every week this year. You're going to hear it every time I speak. We're going to share the mission because it's that important. So here's what it looks like. How many people know that a majority of churches across our nation, I would say probably 95% of the churches in our nation, have what is called a mission statement? Has anybody ever heard that terminology before? Mission statement. Mission statement. So what is a mission statement? A mission statement is simply a short statement that tells why a church or even an organization, why they exist. By the way, show of hands, how many people in your workplace have what you guys have established as a mission statement? Raise your hand if your workplace has a mission statement. What's that all about? You're making it clear that this is why we exist. You're making it clear this is why we do what we do. And we see these mission statements everywhere we go. We see them in workplaces. We see them in schools. We see them on teams. And I want to let you know we need to see them in the local church. And that is simply to tell us why we exist. And listen to me very carefully for the next few minutes because I want you to hear this. And that is this, that how many people know that Jesus gave the church a mission statement? Does everybody understand that? Jesus gave the church a mission statement. And now what all these other churches, including us, do is we kind of narrow it down to basically one sentence, what Jesus told the church to do. So here's the story. We know the story. Christmas, Jesus came to earth. All his life, he led a sinless, perfect life. Holy, holy. Then he became this perfect sacrifice. He died on the cross. And the reason why Jesus died on the cross is for our sins, so that we can have peace with God. And we know that he died, but we know that 3 days later, what happened? We celebrate Easter. We celebrate his resurrection. He came back to life. It was validation that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And then we know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he stayed on earth for a period of about how many days? Does anybody remember? 40 days. He walked the face of the earth for 40 days. And he showed himself to the disciples. He showed them the hands that had nail scars in the side, that had spears and a hole in the side. So people saw the evidence of his resurrection. But just before he went to where he is today, which we read in Scripture that God is now seated where? At the right hand of God the Father. That's where Jesus is now. Jesus is with God right now, seated at his right hand. But just before, just moments before Jesus went to be with his Father, he said, "Hey, you disciples, come here. I got a message that I need to tell you." And basically, this is the message. Hey, what I've started is just beginning. Okay, now you're going to carry the ball from here on out, and you're going to carry the message from this point on. And it's amazing. Here we are 20 or 2,000 plus years later, and we're still, people are coming to Christ because the disciples did what Jesus told them to do. How many people are thankful that the disciples obeyed Jesus? Amen? I am. My soul is well. Amen? So here's what Jesus did. He gave the church what is called the Great Commission. How many people have ever heard of the Great Commission before? So here's the marching assignment that Jesus gave right before he went to heaven to his disciples. It says in verse 9 of Matthew 28, it says, "Therefore," Jesus says, "therefore go and make disciples." Actually, I need to back that up one. Here we go. Jesus came and told his disciples just before going to the Father, he says, "Hey guys, I have been given all authority in heaven and on the earth." Let me ask you a question. Who has all authority? It's a simple answer. Who has all authority? Jesus. Not the government. Not your spouse. Okay, well, we better move on. But all authority is in Jesus. Amen? And then he goes on to say this, verse 19. "Therefore, go." Everybody say that one word together. Go. Go and make what? Disciples of all the nations. So you're going to go. I invested in you for 3.5 years, Jesus is saying. Now you're going to go, and you're going to make disciples of all the nations. You're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then verse 20, Jesus concludes right before ascending to heaven. He says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you." See, the disciples were privy. They were able to hear the teachings of Jesus, know the commands of Jesus. Now Jesus is saying there's others who haven't heard. They didn't have the privilege that you had. Now what you're to do is you're to go to those people and you're going to teach them my commandments. And that's what we do here. We teach people the commandments, the word of God. And he says this, "And be sure of this, I'm going to be with you always, even to the ends of the age." How many people are thankful that Jesus is with us always? Okay, so that's the mission statement that Jesus gives to the big C. When I say the big C, I'm talking about the big universal church. So Jesus is telling the universal church, this is what you're supposed to be all about. Don't lose focus of what it's really supposed to be all about. And I want to let you know today, not only is this true of individual churches, I want everybody to hear me real quick today. We're going to be about 8 more minutes. I want you to hear this. Not only is Jesus speaking to churches, he's speaking to individuals. Are you hearing me this morning? He's speaking to individuals. If you are a Christ follower today, you've said yes to Jesus in your life, this is for you. This is Jesus saying, this is your mission statement. See, all the time I have people come to me and they say, "Well, I'm just trying to discover my purpose. I'm trying to discover the meaning of my life." Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus gave you a great place to start. He gave you purpose by saying, "Hey, you're on my team now. We're wearing the same uniform. Now you're going to go out and you're going to go and you're going to make disciples. That's the plan. That's how this thing works. That's why we're here 2,000 years later, because of the success of what Jesus told these guys to do." Okay? So here's what I want to say. That's the big mission statement. Then churches, individual churches come around, and you can go visit church websites. You can go to visit churches in person. And usually what you'll see is each church has taken this big mission statement that Jesus gave, and they've kind of made it unique for them. So they've taken something that's three verses long, and they've narrowed it down to one sentence. And this one sentence tells us what the mission statement of our church is. This is how we interpret it at our church. And that is the mission of Journey Church is to do two things, to proclaim Jesus Christ and to help people grow in their relationship with him. That's our interpretation of what Jesus told the disciples. Okay? That's the interpretation of how we look at it. We're to do two things, proclaim Jesus, and we're to grow in our relationship. So let's look at that real quick. Two pieces, simple mission statement. First of all, we as the church are to proclaim Jesus Christ. Have you ever stopped to think why? Why should I really take time? Why should we invest in proclaiming Jesus? Here, I thought about it all week, and I came down to one verse that says it so well. Jesus talking. So when Jesus speaks, I listen. Jesus said this about himself. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then look at those next two words. No one can come to the Father except through me. Don't raise your hand this morning because that would be awkward. But I want you to just really, can you just focus in for a couple seconds here? Do you believe that? Think about it. Yeah, I've been to church all my life. Of course I believe it. No, that's not. Do you really believe this verse where Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me? Because in our culture today, they're teaching us that there's a lot of other ways you can get to God. Well, I'm a good person. Well, you're going to get to God. I'm better than my neighbor. You're going to get, I'm a religious person. I believe in a higher power. I go to church. And we can come up with all these different things, but Jesus says, you know what? It's really one way. And I know some people would say, well, you guys are so narrow-minded. Well, it's not me talking. So I'm going to excuse myself from this conversation. But it's Jesus talking, and he says, no one can come to the Father except through me. And that's why it's our mission. We're on mission with Jesus. We want to proclaim Jesus because we believe there's a lot of people out there, and some of them are even in your own family. Some of them are your closest friends. And right now, they're not in relationship with Christ, and we want to help people. Because I read this week, one pastor on his screensaver on his computer had this, he has this reminder. It says, hell is hot and eternity is for a long time. And folks, I know that sounds a little corny, but isn't that the truth? That the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. And our culture today is throwing us all these curveballs, change-ups, fastballs. And they're trying to say, no, you don't need to believe that. There's so many. If you're a good person, you are a good person. That's going to work out for you. But Jesus said, that's not going to work out for you. There's no way no one comes to the Father except through me. Later in the book of John, he calls himself the door. That no one gets to the Father. He's the door. That we go through him to get to the Father. So that's a very big mission that's on our back. That's our responsibility, not only as a church, but you as an individual. God wants to use you. And I want you to begin to believe that this year, that God wants to use you. You say, well, I've never gone to Bible college. I don't even have a degree or whatever your excuse may be. I don't know my Bible as well as other people know their Bible. I just want to let you know God wants to use you because he loves people and he wants you to tell people about Jesus. And that's why we see this is so big of a deal. Here, let's move on quick because I want to end right on time this morning. Second piece of our mission is we want to proclaim Jesus and we also want to help people grow. By the way, that first part is called what we call in the church evangelism. This part is what we call discipleship. Two of the big purposes of the church. Every church, Every church, regardless of how big they are this morning or how small they are this morning, every church should be living out these two purposes. We're evangelizing and we're discipling. We're evangelizing, we're discipling. That's what every church is all about. These are the primary purposes of the church. Second one is to help people grow. Why is this necessary? Because how many people know when you said yes to Jesus? Can you remember that time when you said yes to Jesus? How many people know you were just an infant? You were just a little baby. Spiritually, you were still wearing diapers. You still needed to be fed. You weren't walking yet. You weren't even crawling yet. But how many people know that when we come to Jesus, we're an infant? Just like when you entered this world as a baby, you came in probably, what, 7-8 pounds? And now I was thinking about this week, I'm about 220 pounds. So I've grown over the years, right? And that's what God expects for us. He wants us to grow. That's the expectation that God has for everyone who has said yes to Jesus, is that you grow. And here's the whole goal, guys. The whole goal is that we grow to be like who? Does anybody know the answer? We're to grow to be like Jesus, okay? So, by the way, I was thinking about our mission statement this week, and I thought, really, let's even narrow it down further, because some people have a hard time with one sentence. So I thought this week, let's narrow it down to two words, and we can really narrow it down to this: go and grow. Everybody, let's say that together. Go and grow. That's what the call is for all of our lives. We're all to go and grow. See, I want you to hear this loud and clear this morning. This isn't for churches. This is for every individual who says yes to Jesus for salvation. Everyone, this should be your mandate. Go and grow. Go and grow. So you're going to hear that a lot this year. We're even going to bring a little rhythm into it. We're going to go and we're going to grow. Is everybody here? So look at your neighbor and say, go and grow. So first of all, I want to say this personally to you. You are to grow. I'm sorry, you are to go. I was glad you're watching, okay? You are to go. And you say, well, there's so many people out there that don't know Jesus. Well, I'm going to make it real simple. Jesus made it real simple for you. And that is, why don't you just start with those closest to you? How many people have family members that you kind of think they don't know Jesus yet? What a great place to start. Simple. Jesus is making it simple. You don't need to go on a missions trip to Honduras. You don't need to go on a missions trip to L.A. Some of us, we don't even have to cross the street. It might start right in your own family. Your own family, for crying out loud, in your own family. Or you may say, it might be for you, those people closest to you, your closest friends. Folks, that's why I gave you a card this morning inviting people to Christmas Eve. See, when it comes to church growth, here's what a lot of people think. That's up to Pastor Mike. That's his job. Come on, Pastor Mike, make this church grow. Come on, you can do it. You know what? I've resigned from that. It's not me. What if I told you it was you? What if I told you it was your responsibility? That you are to go. That you are to invite. That you are to pray for people. You are to show random acts of kindness to people. And we'll camp out on this a little more as we go into the new year. But I want to let everybody know my action call to you this morning is you are to go. It was funny, I have a friend back in this neighborhood, he goes to another church, and we were talking about this one day, and he said, oh, forget me, count me out, I don't do that kind of stuff. Well, it's not a choice. We're all called to go. We're all called to go. We're all called because we all have influence, we all have the good news. Second thing I want to let you know, you are to grow. You are to grow. So how are we going to grow as a church? There's some water there. How are we going to grow? We're going to go back to the big four. I introduced this a few months ago. This is how you're going to grow. We're encouraging people to Sunday morning attendance. The average attendance in 8 weeks is people coming twice. We're asking people to up the ante. Come to church. Be above average. Come like 4 or 5 times in 8 weeks. Let's go. The opportunity to grow in worship, in the word, with fellowship. Next, we're going to have the next class that will be offered again in the late winter when we get back from the missions trip. Here's one we're going to change. Join a journey group. Now what I'm asking you to do, a great opportunity for you to grow, is to be involved in Alpha. Alpha. The Alpha course we've been talking about now for about 5 or 6 weeks. Our goal was to have 30 people. We're already up to 24 people that are going to attend that first Alpha session, where we're going to learn basic Bible doctrine, why we're going to figure out why we believe what we believe. I want to encourage you, it's 10 weeks. 10 weeks on a Monday night from 6:15. You can come straggling in, and we'll let you go no later than about, I think we're saying, 8 o'clock. Here's what I'm saying about Alpha, and I want you to listen very carefully what I'm saying about Alpha, and that is 10 weeks can change the rest of your life. And I believe that with all my heart. 10 weeks can change the rest of your life. When you begin to really understand who Jesus is, what he did, prayer, the church, and you begin to understand these basic Bible doctrines, that comes alive in your life, it has the potential to change your life for the rest of your life. It's going to be amazing. So that's one of the ways we're going to have people grow, is we're saying, hey, can you take 10 weeks out of your life? And I realize there's some people who can't. So I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. I realize people have very busy, busy schedules. But I'm going to challenge people also, can you give about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes for 10 weeks to say, you know what, I'm going to go learn so that I can grow. I'm going to go learn so that I can grow because I want to be more like Jesus. I want to have a good foundation. And then we're asking number four, can you find a place to serve? I really believe that this is not my church. It's Jesus' church. It's your church. And everyone here is called to serve. And we're asking you to step it up this year and find a place. Every 100%, what would it look like if 100% of the people who attended this church said, you know what, I can't do a lot, but there's an area where I can usher, I can greet, I can teach the Explorers class one time every 2 months. There's so many opportunities for you to grow. And we're encouraging you this year. We're not preaching information sermons anymore. We're preaching, we're going to make you uncomfortable. I'm telling you right now. And some people may not like to be uncomfortable. Well, I'm sorry. But I really believe God's calling me and saying, Mike, you've missed it. You've kind of missed it. And I'm calling you as your pastor, your friend, but most importantly, your pastor, your shepherd, that I'll give an account for your souls one day as I stand before the Lord. And I'm calling you guys, we got to get this right. And not only as a church, we need to get this right as individuals. This isn't a church growth technique. I want everybody to understand, we're not teaching this for church growth, that, hey, you'll bring more people and we'll grow and it will look. No, we're calling this because this is what we're called to do. Jesus stood right before his ascension and he looked those guys in the face and he said, hey, I came, I died, I was raised from the dead, but if it stops here, we're in big trouble. You guys are the vehicle that are going to carry this in from generation to generation to generation. And look, it's worked. 2,000 years later, it's worked. There's Christians everywhere because there's a group of guys and gals that said yes to the challenge. So I'm going to call you this year. This is just one piece of our foundation. We'll talk on the other pieces after Christmas. We'll preach nice, soft Christmas messages, I promise you, next week, or in December. But folks, I believe that people want to be challenged. How many people want to be challenged? How many people believe that God wants to use you? Isn't that amazing that God wants to use people to carry out his plan to reach people? And I just think in this room today, there's probably a lot of people who feel inadequate. And they think, like, I can't do that. That's your job, Mike, or that's the board member's job, or that's super Christian's job over there. Well, we're going to make it this year. We're going to help you to be all that God wants you to be. We're going to call you from just being attendees. And we're going to call you to engagement. Because I tell you what, attendees, that stinks. That's boring. That's why people jump from church to church, show me the newest thing. But I tell you what happens when people get engaged in the work of Christ? That's when life begins to look really, really fun, wonderful. Amen? So I want to let you know this is my final thought today. And all you young people need to be thankful. Pastor Mike has done 5 minutes early today. Everybody say this together. Our best days are ahead. Our best days are ahead. More importantly, your best days ahead when you keep Christ at the center of your life. When you keep Christ at the center of your life, your best days aren't yesterday, 2 years ago. Oh, I remember when. No, they're still ahead when we keep Christ at the center. Amen? Let's bow our heads this morning. We proclaim Jesus here unashamedly because we believe his words. It says he's the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that no one comes to the Father but by him. We believe that with all of our hearts. That's why we've invested ourselves to give our lives to this. So if you're here today and you've never said yes to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, because you've never heard the simplicity of the truth. Is there anyone here today that'd just like to say, yeah, that's me. I want to put my faith in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to put my faith in Christ. Is there anyone here today? So my thought is, it must be all of us have already done that, and I say, that's awesome. Now, this is what you've said yes to. Going and growing. Going and growing. That will give your life great purpose and meaning if we'll just go out. Wherever we go, we're telling people about Christ. We're growing in our faith. We're not infants. We're not babies. We're growing, and we're more like Jesus. So, Father, we just commit this year to you. We just ask, God, that you would do something new and fresh in this church. And, God, thank you, Lord, that, Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that in life, as is in the case of a church, that yesterday ended last night, meaning everything in our life ended yesterday. Now we're in a new day, new opportunities. And Father, I pray that you'd bless this church with great opportunities to be a part of your work, to be a part of your mission. And Father, I just pray that we would be found faithful, that we would be found faithful to carry out the Great Commission, that we would go and we would grow, that we would go and we would grow. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this church as we go forward this year. And Father, we just thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you for being here this morning. You are dismissed. I just want to say thank you for being here. Have a great, great week.